Who in here would love to wake up to that every morning? Right? Micah, it's just, thank you very much, Micah. Yeah, I got a couple announcements for us. I don't know if Juliana's back from Hawaii, so I don't know if there is blood pressure being checked in the fellowship hall. We'll have to see. That's one of those, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. First of all, sorry, welcome to Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, PCC, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ. We're living out God's love, and we're transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Right? Sorry about the email confusion. There's maybe 2 hours from now, people will be showing up. I was wishful thinking. I wish it was fall back every time, but nope, I lose an hour. But it makes more sense, because Lent actually means lengthening. The lengthening of days. And I think there's also a deepening. A lengthening and deepening of days. And as we walk in this morning, my hope and my prayer is that happens. That we become longer. And we become deeper as God's outpost of his kingdom. Right here, right now. Don't miss out on the Lenten quiet nights. I keep saying it. It keeps blowing my mind. Jane's doing an amazing job. God's doing an even better job through Jane. And it's excellent. And the food is, last Wednesday we had 4 or 5 soups to change. It was like a soup plantation in there. It was delicious. Anything else? Yes, Clarissa. She's here as our guest worship leader. Would you give her a round of applause, please? Make her feel welcome. And Danny is out, and we're left with the talent. Thank you for covering the basics. Cornell's out, and I was looking at both of you, and you were both everybody was nodding, and I was like, actually, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm praising God for all of that corner right there. I got one more announcement, and Steve is going to give it to us, I think.
Thank you. Good morning. I wanted to tell you all about some of the things we've been doing here at PCC. I know you've heard about our Saturday night gathering, and we've been inviting people in to a different kind of a thing. It might appeal to a different crowd, and so we're trying to bring in more people to this outpost of God's kingdom. One of the things we're doing also is we are raising up some new church leaders among the youth and the young adults. This is our Saturday night worship team, and they wanted me to say hello to you and also give a shout out to the Sunday morning worship team. Dusty gave Simon a guitar to play, and Mark loaned me a bass. And I've been having a lot of fun working with these kids. I could brag on them a lot, but my kids helped me with some church work this past week. And we made some signs to advertise what we're doing on Saturday nights. These signs are in the youth office upstairs. And we put lights behind them, and you can even see them all the way across the sports fields. There appear to be about 150 teams every Friday night that play flag football there. And we think that the families there would be a great fit for PCC. And so we've been making a push to really reach out to them. When they do come here, they often like to park in our parking lot because it's easier to get in and out of, and they often donate to us. That's been a thing in the past. And a few seasons, we received donations that looked like this. And we did not have a lot of staff or volunteers from the church to sit out there on Friday nights and receive donations. But Courtney and I went out there this Friday night and not for the whole season, but for one night alone, we brought in $1,500. And I think that's fantastic. We had a little bit of a new strategy. I made up advertisements for our church, and 70 people gave us $20 each for the privilege of keeping this in their car for 8 weeks. It's an advertisement for our church. It basically tells everything that the pew card tells, and it has a couple of pictures of talking about Sunday mornings and Saturday nights. Now, $1,500 is amazing, but I would trade it in an instant for 15 of these people. That would be about four families, and I think four new families at this church would be a game changer. Four regular attending member families would be awesome. You didn't know me before I came here, but God did. And I think there were a few of you that were probably praying for my family, maybe even years before I came. I'd like to ask you to pray for the next four families that join ours. And I would also like to ask you to come out, come and talk to Courtney or I about when would be a good time for you to staff the parking lot, because there are still people who want to just donate per day, and we've got Saturdays also that happen, soccer tournaments and things like that. So receiving donations is great, but seeking the kingdom first, I think, is the most important thing. And all the donations, all that stuff will be added to us. And here's a bonus pro tip. Tonight, 7:13, look out to the west, and there should be a spectacular rocket launch.
Stevie, I love you. That's amazing. That's all of it right there. I was going to do the meet and greet, but I don't think we should. I honestly think just last night, Saturday night, we had a person who hadn't stepped foot on this campus worship with us. And she brought her third grade daughter with her, Jenny and Ellie. And I asked, how did you find out about it? And does anybody remember MJ? The British guy that doesn't take off sunglasses and plays the bagpipes? He invited them. What? I was just humbled. Would you stand with me, and I'll call us to worship, and I'll call us to worship rather than reading out of King James English. I'm going to call us to worship with the prayer that is from the devotional this morning. We are born of your love, dear Lord. Let us live that love. And all God's people said, let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Thank you. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, it's time for our prayer of confession. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Our old selves were crucified with him so that we might slave no more to sin. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins. We shall follow the prayer of confession in our bulletin unisonly. Merciful God, your pardon of true repentance return to you. We humbly confess our sins, and we also will say, we have not trusted in your heart, nor have we loved your neighbors as ourselves. We have not justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, O God. Have mercy on us, God, in your loving kindness. In your great compassion, cleanse us from all our sin. Do not cast away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with the band of spirit. Amen. The good news is, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now let's stand to sing our praise.
concludes our message. Anyone who wants to receive Jesus, that was beautiful. Thank you. They might feel anything different this morning. I do too. And Edson, thank you. And the reason you might be asking, why Edson? Why he asked? And so, yeah, totally. You could do some prayers of confession. Yeah. To think, I just want to pause for a second, you know? It was my second Thanksgiving here. It was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and Edson walked in the back door. And we were meeting that Tuesday with Jin Chung for a Thanksgiving meal, because he had never had a Thanksgiving meal. Do you remember that, Doctor Who? And we went in the fireside room on that Tuesday with the Atkins family, the Griffiths family, Edson, and actually Jin Chung brought his wife and his kids. And it was quite possibly the best Thanksgiving I've ever experienced, even though it was a week after Thanksgiving and not even on a Thursday. But it was a snapshot of heaven, and Edson hasn't missed since, joined the church. Now he's leading prayers of confession. Praise God for that. You know, praise God for these stories. For all of us, we have these stories, right? Just want to pause and, yeah, that's good, good, good. We're going to be here for 3 hours, just a heads up. No, I'm just kidding. I'll try. Malia said, you're not going to read as much as you did last night. And I said, no, I'm not. So she's your safeguard. We're studying, it's in Lent. We're in Lent, right? Which we talked about already. It's a lengthening and a deepening of our faith. It's joining with Jesus in his 40 days in the desert. It's remembering that from dust we have come, to dust we shall return. And right now, like in my email that had some false information in it, but it also had some true information in it. As the Lenten schedule rounds this corner and we start looking to Good Friday and the Resurrection Sunday, Easter, there's more hope in the text. And as our days lengthen, and as our faith lengthens and deepens, our Lenten journey does the same, and it's more hope-infused. And so we're looking at 1 John. And before I get to it, I want to say, first, remind everybody in here, Jesus had two best friends, and John was one of them. John and Peter knew Jesus better than anyone else on the planet, because they were his best friends. They were told things that the other 12 weren't. The other 10 of the 12 weren't. And so John has this deep, and he's older. And everyone in here knows, with age, even if you're kind of foolish, with a little age, even the fool starts to wisen up, right? And John was no fool, and he's this wise man, and it's deepened and it's deepened, and he is just amazing. His writings are amazing. He is an amazing man. He was an amazing man. And the other thing I want to mention was Dallas Willard came out with a book in the 90s called Divine Conspiracy. And that I've mentioned it a bunch of times. That book changed my life, probably second to the scriptures. And one of the concepts out of it that changed my life was he was the head of philosophy. Dallas Willard was the head of philosophy department at USC. So he was a brilliant man and deep. And in his opening chapters of the book, he recognizes that as a philosophy professor, he's seen a divide amongst his students and ultimately amongst culture. This divide was over the understandings that our beliefs matter. Over time, we tend to think of life and Bible and theological knowledge as something you tick a box off. I know it, therefore I believe it. I understand it, therefore I believe it. I believe Jesus is the Christ. And we tick that box off. And you can, you know, like, I know it, I believe it, right? But he takes it and he says, look at the negative side of it. Look at Hitler. You could see that he believed that the Jewish people were inferior, and that belief drove him to huge atrocities. What we believe matters. And what we say we believe and what we believe is often very different. We say we believe in Christ, but if you look at our calendars, we believe that sports are amazing. We believe that watching television is really important. We believe, fill in the blank. I mention this because John had what Dallas Willard describes as biblical belief on his mind when he wrote this text. Because he calls us. That's enough me introing. Let's read some scripture. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for who? For us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest, at peace, at shalom in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus the Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, preach through me. May your words come through. And all God's people said, I forgot my little devotional thing. Now, he starts with, what does he start with? This is how we know what love is. Has anybody read 1 John? If you could sum it up in one word, what would it be? Love. Thank you, Brian Sitch. Absolutely. Love. This letter is all about love. He's been saying, hey, by the way, love each other. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. Oh, hey, what's up? Love each other. Love each other. Oh, by the way, love each other. It's repetitive. It's almost broken record technique, right? For all you teachers in the room. Anybody a teacher? Used to be a teacher? Anybody a parent? Bring me my water. Bring me my water. Anyway, love, 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 love. He repeats over and over, love, love, love. And then he pauses, and this is the heart of the text. What is love? What does love look like? Looks like caring, that's right. Hallmark Channel says, you know, love looks like a man and a woman fighting for about 45 minutes and then finding each other and falling in love and getting married. That's the Hallmark Channel's view of love. We have all these competing. What does love look like? The cross. Helping somebody in need. We'll get to that in a second, but Tim, A+, you get a Mazda Miata. Talk to me after the class. Just kidding, I don't have a Mazda Miata. John says, if you ever want to know what love looks like, look at Jesus Christ. Our devotional says it this way. In his life, Jesus went down the hard road of betrayal, trial, torture, and crucifixion. That is how Jesus Christ said, I love you. In Christ, love is united in word and action. In God, speaking and doing are one and the same. Marianne May Thompson, in her commentary on this text, said Jesus Christ is both the example and the revelation of love. Love revealed. Right? And then someone else said the second half of it. Out of that, loving your neighbor, loving those in need. What is love? Look at the cross. Both in word and in deed, he gave us the example and he gave us the revelation. He fused the two together. Love and life. Love and life. Then he says, he asks us another question. What does love look like? Love looks like Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. He fuses love and life, and you live it out as he has revealed it to you, as he has lived it as an example to you. And how do we know if you're getting it? We look at what you say you believe and what you actually believe. And if you actually believe it, you'll be leaving this positive wake of love and life. Right? Everybody's following? Okay, good. Because then the second thing he says, how do we know? What is the second one? Verse 19. How we know we belong to the truth and put our hearts at peace in his presence. For that, I'll go back to the devotional which we talked about on Wednesday. And it was actually Monday, a week from tomorrow's devotional. And it's on 1 John 3:20. And this devotional, once again, opened my eyes to how... Anyway, it just changed my view on this text. The verse, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. The devotional reads, the first part of 1 John 3:20, whenever our hearts condemn us. This can happen any time, but during Lent, with such self-condemnation is especially likely. Do you find yourself there? Do you find yourself there? Do you find yourself in this room, your heart condemning you? Our soul searching confronts us with our sinfulness. Our conscience convicts us. Our heart condemns us, but not God. But not God. Not God. I'd always read this text. Our heart condemns us, and God knows everything. And I always read that text, and I heard condemnation. I heard further condemnation. I heard God flips on the light, and he caught you. He knows what you're doing wrong. You're busted. Nothing could be further from this text. Nothing could be further from the truth. But not God. He is greater than our hearts and our hearts' ability to condemn. God knows everything. That's true. That thought might frighten us. Perhaps it contributes to the heart being stuck in self-condemnation. But God also knows his heart. He knows his love for us. He knows his son in the work of forgiveness, salvation, and life that Christ accomplished for us. Is everybody following this? I fell backed into the corner by the text that's supposed to be saying, no, there's nowhere you can run. There's no hiding from his enormous grace and his enormous love for you. You may condemn yourself. You may hear negative voices. You're not doing good enough. You're not doing enough. You're not sharing enough. You're not inviting enough people to church. You're not doing, fill in the blank. You're not doing it right. You're messing up. Those are all lies. Those are all lies from the liar, the deceiver. God is actually cornering you and saying, I got you, and there's nowhere you can run from my grace and my mercy. Does anybody feel a little good right now? Okay, good. It's amazing. And then he ends this text with, it just gets better and better. Because he says, you know, that's how you know what love is. That's how do you find peace? And how do you know that you're a part of the truth? You realize there's nowhere you can hide, that God knows you and absolutely loves you. And then he says, and this is my command. And he repeats it a couple times. Believe. Believe into the name of Jesus. And then he mentions life. And life for John is a huge word. It's a huge concept. Let me read for you. We're studying the Gospel of John at Daytimers. And he writes towards the end of the Gospel of John in verse 20, verses 30. And 31, he writes the reason he wrote the Gospel of John, and I think he wrote 1 John for the same exact reason. And listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe. I wrote this book, I wrote this letter, so that you could believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Another word for Messiah, rescuer. Savior. Not before, not after, right on time. Messiah, rescuer. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Huios Hotheos. Son of God. God wrapped in flesh. And that by believing, you may have life. And life for John and the gospel is a quantitative and a qualitative. I did that in reverse. It's qualitative and quantitative. It's forever and it's deep. Think the deepest you can go, it's deeper. 1 John ends our section this morning. The one who keeps God's commandments lives in him. I've done this illustration a bunch of times. I still think I need to do it again. Where'd the paper go? It's still there, but it's in my hand. That's us in God. We're still there, but we're in God. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. How do we know he lives in us? By the Holy Spirit. He throws the Holy Spirit in as icing on the cake. In this text, it's almost like a locomotive. You can almost hear the engine. You got to love and then live. Love, live, love, live, and love, live. Woo-hoo, love, live, love, live. And all of a sudden at the end, John goes, boom, you got the resurrection spirit in you. You got the holy fire. You got God from heaven flowing down through you. Sorry, Lloyd. Philip, you're the man. Just cut the microphone. Here comes J-Dog. We got this locomotion. And I want to tell you, we're on it. I walk in this space and I feel life. I walk amongst these people and I feel loved. I walk in this place and I see Edson going through the prayer and confession with his African accent, and I feel the Spirit flowing through him and flowing straight through us. This is terrible. I got my sermon. Here we go. I didn't think it through again. I need a spare piece of paper up here all the time. Christ loves you. He lived it out. He lived it out. He not only lived it out, he died it out. And he rose again it out. And he did it to infuse us. We believe in him, and we are infused in that process. That's what Edson said right at the beginning of his prayer confession. We're infused in that process. We die with him, we rise again, and we live out. We live out his proclamation and his revelation. We both speak it, and we reveal it together by the Holy Spirit to this broken, dark world. It's more of a praise God than an application. It's more of a, this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. You either hop on the train and start living and loving and choo-chooing, or get sucked up in it. I don't think there's any other option. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you. Praise you for sending your Son, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ, we praise you for both proclaiming and revealing to us and infusing love and life in us, for us, and with us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place. Continue to infuse our lives and our love that we might be better proclaimers and revealers to this broken world of your truth. And all God's people loudly said, amen. Let's sing, Oh, How He Loves Us. Got a question for you. What more could he give? Nothing. It's dangerous to give. It's dangerous to take the offering after that song. Anybody follow my logic? He gave it all. Everybody, empty your pockets. Give it all. Right? That's kind of the tendency. But I want to call for the offering and remind you that God loves you as is. And he invites us. This time of offering is more of an invitation to give back monetarily. You guys give with your time like nobody's business. This is an invitation to give monetarily, to pour into this locomotive train that's living and loving and living and loving. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received. Thank you.
Today's entry in our Lenten devotional is called Love and Life. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will measure our hearts before him. Will you please pray with me? Holy, merciful, and loving God, we love you because you first loved us. We come before you today with hearts filled with gratitude for your love and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, for the love of family and friends, and for the many blessings that you have bestowed on us this week. For a world in desperate need of you, Father, we lift up those afflicted by conflict and violence around the world. We continue to pray for Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza. We pray for your provision and success for the floating pier that the U.S. is building to help deliver aid to Gaza. May it go smoothly, O Lord, and swiftly for this necessary humanitarian effort. Bring peace to areas of turmoil, comfort to the afflicted, protection for the innocent, and reconciliation where there is division. Comfort the hearts of the lonely, the homeless, and the refugee. Lord, lead each one of us to be your instruments of change in this world. Prince of Peace, we pray for your wisdom and discernment for the leaders of our state, of our nation, and of the world. Guide them in their decision-making that they may work for the well-being of all people, upholding justice and promoting peace. Help us to be responsible citizens, engaging in the issues of our time and advocating for the marginalized. Inspire us to be your emissaries of justice and peace, working towards the elimination of poverty, prejudice, and inequality. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for your wisdom and discernment as we seek to fulfill your mission in this corner of your kingdom. Strengthen our church community, O Lord, and help us to be a beacon of light and hope, reflecting your love to our neighbors. We pray for guidance for our pastor and our leaders, that they will seek your face and lead us with grace and compassion. O Lord, you are healer of our body, mind, and spirit. We pray for those who are struggling with illness, loneliness, grief, or financial hardship. May they experience your presence and find comfort and support through care and compassion. We lift up to you our own that are in need of a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit. We pray for George, Forrest, Theodore, Debbie, Dominic, Buzz, Kay, Mike, Keith, the Olson family, Angela, Bev, Ruth, Jennifer and her sister Jerry, Jane and her sister Pam, Mary, Terry, Sandy, Patty, Dick, and Dusty. May each one feel your very presence with them today, uplifting them and bathing them in your mercy and grace. We pray, Father, for the next four families that you are preparing to come and join this outpost of your kingdom. And Lord, we are praying for the next 40. Almighty Father, as we journey through this season of Lent, we come before you with humble hearts and open minds. May we be ever mindful of your great love for us, shown through the sacrifice of your Son on the cross. Help us to turn away from our sins and embrace your path of righteousness for your Son's sake. Show us how to love, not just in words, but in deed and in truth. We continue worshiping you and praying as you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please join, if you are able, to sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Carissa, thank you. And man, you can sing. Did you hear? That was amazing. Thank you for leading the choir. Tim, thanks for filling in for Danny. If you have Jeff Farless's number in your phone, text him thank you. I just texted him as we're doing that, just for leading worship. It'd be fun if he got all a bunch of thank yous at the same time. Right at the end of the service, go for it. So if you have Jeff Farless's. Next week is St. Patrick's Day. Make sure you don't miss that. We're coming here. I think we'll have deacons probably serving pastrami of some sort. Corned beef, pastrami, yeah. Isn't corned beef similar? My wife is like, yes, it is. The pastrami's Italian. Yeah, we... That's funny. And if we were in the UK, today's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day in the UK, every mother in here, and every mother type figure, because my mom went to be with the Lord in 2003, and the church has been filling ever since. So you guys, I have a bunch of moms. You don't know how many moms emailed me back. It's spring forward. Anyway, it's spring forward. Every mom in here was like, anyway, that's totally my mom. Receive this morning's benediction. And Juliana is here, so blood pressure after here. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.